You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my new friend, Shannon Russell. And listen, here's the thing. I love my job. Now, to be fair, I created it for myself, so that makes sense. But one thing that fascinates me about all of the amazing conversations I'm having is when there are similarities in what I find to be unexpected places. So this is when maybe the lessons from an experience over here pay off and are useful in something totally unrelated over there. I call that synthesis. I don't know if that's the right word for that. But the other thing that happens is when, or where I see it, is when two people who have very different life paths and very different experiences turn out to have parts of their story that match in a few points. I think that's wildly entertaining, and I hope you do too. Shannon and I talk about when she walked away from her dream job. And honestly, it was a very, very cool job. She shares with us why she did that, what was going on, and what she did next. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do it. Shannon Russell, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Me too. All right. Are you ready for a fun chat?
So excited. So ready.
Let's do it. All right. I begin every interview asking people what part of the world they're in. So tell us where you are.
I'm in New Jersey in the States.
Very cool. I'm in Miami, Florida. And like many people in New Jersey, did you at one point live in New York?
I did, of
course. Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Yeah. So, and then I followed the rules. I moved south. I moved south right after I graduated from college. So nice. that was my schedule. All right. So I would love to learn a little bit more about you personally before we dive in to the topic at hand. If you could please tell us a little bit, just kind of about yourself outside of work, maybe about the important people in your life, people you live with, your pets, your hobbies, whatever you want to share, as little or as much about you, just to establish some connection.
Sure. So I love my children. They're my best friends. I have two little boys. They have gotten the theater bug like I had. So we are obsessed with Broadway, theater, all things pop culture. So yeah, we're just really, really close. We love traveling and I really love reading and writing. And so I feel like if I'm not traveling and doing kind of experience things with them, I'm nuzzled up with a book on the couch.
What kind of books do you read? Do you read like the e-reader or are you doing paperback books? Paperback hardcover. I meant like physical books. Yeah. Wow. All right. That impressive. I'm totally an e-reader.
Are you?
Yeah. No, I'm e-reader. I will buy the book. So I will frequently read it. If I love it, I will buy it. And so then I have it to go back to. Sometimes I will do the e-reader and it will be like a nonfiction book that requires like charts and things. And then I'm like, okay, fine. I'll buy this book. All right. So now to dig into the topic of the day, you proposed talking about a career change and running in high heels. Does that sound like fun?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So before we talk about a career change, let's rewind the clock by like a lot. When you think of yourself as you were in middle school or in high school, what were you like? What classes did you love? What didn't you like? What were you like?
Like I said, I was a theater girl. I was the straight A student. I was involved in every club. I did like peer leadership. And, you know, I was just really involved in helping other students. We would go into elementary schools and teach kids about not drinking and don't do drugs. I was always just involved in different groups to help other kids and doing theater. And I was a dancer. And yeah, I just had big dreams about the arts and performing and all of that was kind of instilled in me at a really young age.
So arts and performing. So when you were young before, you know, because in middle school, we don't really understand what jobs are. I mean, we sort of do, right? But it's firemen and doctors and whatever our parents do. What was your dream of what you wanted to do?
I wanted to be an actress. I really like since I was 5 years old, that's what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until high school, I went to see a live taping of Regis and Kathy Lee. This is back in the day.
Back in the day.
And I saw what Michael Gelman, the producer, did. And I was like, ooh, I think I want to be a producer instead. I'm a little type A. So I think that's what I want to do instead of performing. And that's when everything kind of shifted for my career.
All right. So I actually get to talk to a lot of people about job changes, and I love it because it's one of the most common transitions we go through, no matter that all of us, most of us do it a million times. Very few people are actually prepared for it, which is a really interesting thing. And you shared with me in your intake form that this job was your dream job. Like, so you knew from when you were in high school that this was the thing you wanted to do. Go ahead and share with people more about what that job was and what it looked like when you were doing it and how it was your dream job, type A.
Well, I wanted to be a producer. I wanted to make television. I went to school for that. I got my first job at MTV in New York, and then I went on to work in Los Angeles. But really, a producer takes that idea for a show, works with the team, gets the talent, writes the scripts, works with the camera crew, and creates that show so that it can end up on your television or now your computer screen or your phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just really just that whole process was so intriguing to me, the creative process and then the kind of type A managerial process of just organizing everything to get that end result.
That is very cool. What I think that a lot of people who are listening would say that sounds like a very cool job. And so this is not a cliffhanger, but you no longer do that. Before we talk about the shift, I want you to share some of the highs and lows of the dream job, because I think that's fair, right? It was your dream job. You did it for a long time. You did it for a long time. This was not something that you did what you got into it and you're like, oh, nope, that's not what I want to do. You did this for a long time. But share with us some of the things that you loved and then some of the things that you didn't love, even if it's not like the reason you left. But you know, all jobs have good and bad things about them.
Yeah, the good about this was really you are part of a team. So even to this day, some of my best friends, most of my best friends are people that I worked with when I first began my career. So you work really closely, you work long hours, you travel a lot, and it's just that collaboration that I loved. I loved getting to know the people on my crew. I love getting to know the talent, the cast. And it was just that collaboration of knowing that at the end of the day, we accomplished this big project. And then of course the travel. I've traveled to places that I never would have gone to on my own. Meeting celebrities, of course, is exciting and live shows. I did a lot of live TV, red carpets. So that adrenaline rush of you're there and here comes Matt Damon and whoever else, and you're just excited and then you're scared to not get it right because it's live. So all of that was just the really fun part. And again, the long hours is not always the fun part. So it's the travel, the not being able to go to friends' weddings or see your family. I moved across the country and was really far away from my family for many years. So that I think is the downside of living out your dream when it has to be in one or two cities and not anywhere you want.
Right. No, you were doing broadcast production. And so that really limits you to basically New York and Los Angeles, with a maybe a hint of Orlando, depending on who you're working with.
I worked in Orlando for a hot minute
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. No, they would like to push Orlando as a bigger market. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. So that I think is really helpful. I think it's interesting. There was a piece of my life when I was younger where I made the discovery. You don't notice the hours when the hours are inconvenient when you're younger for some reason. But there was a time in my life where I woke up and I was like, wow, all of these things are happening on the nights and weekends. So is that the life that I want? You know?
Exactly.
I think that is I think that happens in a lot of industries. Like, it's fun to work in a bar maybe when you're 21 and maybe less so when you are 35.
I
Maybe
agree.
that's not for everybody. Maybe that's not true for everybody. Okay, so take us through some of what was going on, because this was a dream job that you loved, that you had really leaned into, and it does hit a lot of the very, very cool things that I think that a lot of people would really love. Not everybody I talk to gets to say, hey, I was working on the red carpet. Like, that's one of the dream kind of things that people think they want to do, right? It has celebrity, it has fame, all those things. So what were some of the things that began to happen that were cluing you into the realization that maybe you didn't want to keep doing this?
It was when I had my first son. So I got married and had my first son when I was in Los Angeles. And everything kind of changed because in LA, you're in a bubble and everyone goes out 7 nights a week and you're working late hours and it's a different world, in my opinion. And all my friends, I felt like disappeared. And so it was just my husband and I and this baby and me trying to figure it out and then figuring out how can I go back to working 12 plus hours a day with this baby. And so everything started shifting. We ended up moving to the East Coast and I began working in Manhattan and doing a 90-minute commute each way. And then it was a different kind of pressure because I needed to not work so late so I could commute and get my son from daycare. And so things just started pulling at me. And I realized after a while that, you know what? I did this. I accomplished what I wanted. And that's where the shift started coming, where I said, I'm proud of myself. I accomplished my dream job. Maybe there's something else out there for me that will allow me to be that more present mom that I want to be.
So this is an amazing conversation. And it's not the way, it's not specifically about job change, right? But were you surprised by how much your life shifted when you were trying to work and be a parent? Because it caught me absolutely by surprise. I absolutely thought that I was going to go back to work and then it was like a 2x4 to my forehead when I was like, wow, this actually doesn't work. And it was like a cascade of understanding of how the people who I had known at the time who were older, why they had made these decisions that I didn't understand.
Logistics, right? Because
Logistics.
you start thinking, well, okay, maybe I want to go back to work, but I want to be this present mom. How do I do it? And society doesn't set it up for us to be able to
No,
do
there
it.
is no full-time job salary
No.
for 9:30 to 11:30 with time off to see the preschool Thanksgiving show.
No, exactly. And Amy, I missed my son's first birthday because I was out shooting for MTV at South by Southwest. So I was here. It was music. It was fun, but I was missing his first birthday. And to this day, it kills me. Then I missed the first Halloween trick or treat, and it's just all at the preschool. And it's all of these things. And you start going, is this what life's about? Now I'm stressed about where I should be, and that guilt of I'm not 100% at my work and I'm not 100% at home. What's wrong with me? And then the looks of my coworkers as I was trying to leave at 4:30 in the afternoon to catch my bus so I could be at daycare at 6. Actually, I was leaving at 4 now that I think about it because I had, to take the subway and all of that was just, it was a lot. And it was, yeah. So I'm with
And
you. It
there's
was just
no
not possible.
way, like for people who are listening who have made a different decision, there is no way to make this in a right or wrong way. Everybody's going to make different decisions. And I guess I'm going to ask you about it because I do think it matters what your profession is, right? Because there are some professions where you cannot really opt out and come back in. Law, medicine, you've got to keep your foot in the door, keep things up to date, all of those things. But other things, you can take a pause and choose to come back. I call it the parenting pause. And it also depends on your family, what other people do. So what were the things that you guys thought about you, your partner? What were the things, time with your kids? You were traveling far away. It wasn't like you were going across town to do that. What were the things that were driving you in helping you make this decision?
Well, my husband is a producer as well. So we
Oh,
had
so
two
okay.
things that, yeah.
I wondered, I was going to ask that earlier. I was like, I wonder if he's also in
Yeah.
production.
And we both were doing that commute. And luckily, my parents, we had moved back to the East Coast to be closer to my parents. And they were able to help with the pickups from daycare and help here and there. But still, we didn't want to lean on them 100%. But at the end of the day, we both made good money. But it wasn't worth that stress of figuring things out. So, one of us, something had to give, and it's usually the mother that makes
It
that
is.
change.
It is not
And
always, but it still usually is. The data
exactly.
is pretty significant.
And for me, I was ready. For me, I think I had said, I checked, I always say, check all the boxes. I did that. I got to have my dream job. So I wasn't giving anything up. And that's where that shift came. And I said, okay, if I were to change and find something else, it wouldn't be the end of the world because I was happy with what I had done. And for me, something had to give because I couldn't keep up with this. Someone's sick at school, and now I have to run and get them, and it's going to take me 2 hours door to door. It was just,
Yes.
yeah, it wasn't
Yeah, that's
working. It's something had to give.
did you do the daycare math? Like the this is what I make, this is what I bring home, this is what it's going to cost for me to pay for all of the things to keep the schedule
Yeah.
going, and then you it's such a depressing moment. It's
Oh,
such
yeah.
a depressing moment. I remember thinking back to, I mean, really honestly, at one point I was like, this is why everybody begins to sell leggings and Mary Kay products and Roldana and Fields. I was like, because their jobs like do not, they don't do it. And one of my mom friends went back to work as a pharma rep. And it only lasted, she was only able to do it for like 90 days before she was like, there's never even a full week of school. Like there's never even like you're paying all of your money for daycare, and every third day there's an ear infection, a runny nose, a call from this, a show, whatever. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's like the funniest thing. The thing that amazes me about me looking at it is that I knew so many people who had gone before me, and I had clearly not paid enough attention to what they did. Like I laughed at myself about that. All right. So those are the things that were going on outside of the career. And you have an interesting position that you were actually able to say to yourself, I've done this, I've checked off the things I want to do. And I think that's a key point, because there are going to be other people who would be in a different spot in their career where they're making an emotional decision, which is very, very valid, of whether or not you want to do it. And I know plenty of people who have kids, hire full-time nannies, two of them, in order to be able to manage two people. And I don't judge. I full support. So then who was the first person you told that you weren't gonna, that you didn't want to do it? When you realized you were making this decision, who was the first person you told?
It had to have been, I guess it was my husband, because I wasn't asking for permission. I was letting him know that this was what was going to happen because I couldn't take that stress. And at that time, I had had another little one. So I had two little boys, a newborn, and a 3-year-old. And actually, what happened was my show got canceled while I was on
Okay.
maternity leave. And that was another turning point where I said, okay, I can pick up the phone and I can get another job because television is very freelance, project to project based. And I said, no, let me see what else I can do. And it was a challenge to myself. And I understand, I mean, financially, it was very, 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 very hard. But I was able to keep the kids home and didn't pay for daycare during that time when I was figuring things out. So that helped. But I just knew it wasn't going to last long if I continued on that same path. So something had to give and I had to figure it out. And my husband understood, but didn't understand where I was coming from in the sense that he still wanted to very much be in the industry and he loved it and didn't understand why I would give it up. And quite a few of my friends were almost having interventions with me as well, because they were all in the industry. And we're like, why would you give this up? And I was like, I'm not giving it up. I am choosing to now experience my children and figure out what else I can do. We get one life. So I was looking at it more like, what else can I do with this skill set? And it wasn't easy, but it was an adventure almost to figure out.
Did they believe you when you told them that?
I don't know actually if they truly believed me. I think they honestly thought I was crazy. I was one of the first ones in my big group of friends on both coasts to withdraw from the industry and try to figure something else out. Now, oh gosh, almost 10 years later, they are all like, wow, like look at all that you have done. And I just am getting that constant, like, you got out at a good time, Shannon. You did it. And now so many other people are. And have been for probably 4 or 5 years now trying to leave the industry because there's so many shakeups and changes. And they're coming to me to say, how did you do it? Help me. So I think then they had their doubts, but I think I've proven them wrong all these years later after
Yeah,
a lot of
so
work.
definitely one of the things that I find in talking to people about it, like most people I know that have more than one child end up taking some sort of pause if they can, because the stress is so crazy. And then there are like different pockets. So like some people will just assume you wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Like there's a trad wife pocket in your corner, right? And so when people would, I was like, ah, no, it wasn't. For me, it was the best option. It was like I was looking at the things that were going on and the needs of our family and all of that stuff. And it was just the best option, even if I didn't necessarily think that that's the way my life was going to go. And that was interesting. So you've got three little ones.
Two little ones.
Two little ones. Okay. So two little ones. You got two little, the first one, the second one, all your hands are full when you add the second one. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit. You've said some of this, but just to make sure we cover it, what were some of the things that you were hoping about when you realized you were going to do this and you were going to change, make the change? What were you hoping would happen? Did you immediately know that you were going to start something else, that was a requirement for your family? What were some of the things that you were hoping that would come be better about your life, other than not missing first birthday parties, which is a pretty big one?
That's a good question. I knew that staying home financially wasn't an option for my family in the area that we live. We both needed to work. And I thought about it. I thought about if I could stay home, but it wasn't, I think it wasn't for me. I wanted to be present and be there, but I wanted to work. I wanted to have something of my own. But it was a wake-up call because I was almost that. What is the saying? Small fish in a big pond. And then I came
Yeah.
to the suburbs, and I was like, I'll get a job, no problem. I have all these years of experience. I was this big wig at this place. I did this, I did that, and so I applied for a ton of production companies in the suburbs or marketing agencies, and crickets.
Yeah.
And that was the wake up call of like, wow, like it doesn't necessarily transfer from a big city to a small town. Now what? Now, what am I going to do? And that was where I really had to sit here and dissect my experience and what I've done and all my skills and see how that could transfer to something else. Because I realized I wasn't going to be a television producer in the suburbs. It wasn't going to happen. So I had to reinvent myself. And yeah, so that was a big wake-up call. It took a lot of self-awareness and self-work to figure out my second act.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So then, okay, there's the question that people ask all the time where it's like, do you use the skills that you studied in school? And people are like, oh, I don't use anything I studied in school. Would you, when people ask that to you, do you feel like you use the things you studied in school?
I do. I study communications
Yeah.
and all of that. So I obviously use that, but in transferring, what I ended up doing was create a business. And I said, well, as a producer, I'm managing budgets, I'm managing people, I'm communicating. You have to be a people person. And I realized, well, starting my own business, I have to be a people person. I have to manage a team. I have to have this marketing prowess and know how to write copy. And so I realized that everything really was transferring. So for
Yeah.
me, it was, but I know there's a lot of people where it really doesn't translate. For me, I kind of found a way to pull that thread through all the way. I
That's
feel
what
like.
I also studied communications, and that's I answer the question the same way. I'm like, listen, I don't know what you people studied. And I will honestly tell you, I don't use any of the calculus I had to take in school
Oh,
ever.
yeah.
Not ever. No one has ever asked me how to graph an equation at any point in my life. Actually, that's not true. At one point I took an options exam, but the idea of how to communicate a message has come through. And now, so we have a bunch of kids in our family, and one of the things I've shared with them is like, listen, there are things you learn, and there's the undercurrent of what you learn. And sometimes it's like applying that, because like I have a kid who's maybe going to do film study, and I'm like, okay, so you may not make movies. Cool. It's okay. You can still study film. All right. So in a second, we're gonna wrap this up, but I want to give you a chance to talk about what you're doing now. You're now in the business of helping people make their own career transitions, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I started my first business when I came out of production, and then that grew really quickly. I realized I was good at it. And then a lot of my customers started asking me, oh, how did you go from television to owning a business? And they started asking me for help. Can you help me figure out how I don't have to have this commute? And so I started helping customers and friends, and eventually opened a career coaching and business coaching practice. And so now I help other women like us make that transition from corporate to open a business that allows
Yeah.
them that that freedom and that lifestyle that they are looking for.
That is spectacular. So I was curious whether you went straight to this. So what was the, do you mind sharing what was the job in between? What was the first
Sure.
business?
It was a franchise business, so which was amazing because all the pieces were there for me. I really got to learn. So it was a great stepping stone. It was a Snapology STEM education franchise. So I taught STEM education, Lego building, robotics to kids, which was so perfect, Amy, because I had a 3-year-old and a newborn. So they could come with me. I worked from home. They came with me to classes. There were Legos everywhere in the house. So they were so happy. So yeah, I ran that for about 8 years and then I sold it for a profit this past fall.
That's fantastic. All right, so that's a great little bridge because then you had some structure because the franchise, you got all the different pieces. That's really cool. All right, very good. All right, so I do want to give you a chance to very directly share with people how they can find you and connect with you. And I know that you have a book that's coming out, which is amazing. So be
Thank
sure to tell
you.
people about that as well.
Yes, so my business is Second Act Success, and my book coming out is Start Your Second Act. So it's all about my journey and how you can make that transition into whether it's a new career or starting a business or just into that second act in your life. So you can go to secondactsuccess.co/book, and you can learn all about the book. There's a free download, and there's more resources on my website, secondactsuccess.co/resources.
Awesome. All right. So I put all of that in the show notes for people who are listening, but nobody ever goes there. The best way to get those links is to make sure you're subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email community. And then I deliver it direct to your inbox and you can just click on it, which is perfect. So be sure to do that. All right. We're going to close out. I'm going to ask you three random questions. These are supposed to be rapid fire. I'm not very good at the rapid fire, but I always try. They're just for fun. And here we go. What is a childhood, like when you were a kid, favorite food or meal that your parents or your family made for you?
Baked ziti.
Baked ziti. Delicious. Delicious. What's a guilty pleasure that you're willing to publicly admit to when you want to chill out or relax?
I don't know if it's guilty, but Hallmark. I am a Hallmark Channel obsessed fan. So I constantly have Hallmark on in the background. Love it.
So, like the Hallmark holiday movies, all of those kind of
Exactly.
things. All right,
Yep.
that's very cool. That's very cool. I love the jokes about the Hallmark holiday movies. I love
Oh
it. I
no.
think they're hilarious. It's like it is really funny. It's very
It's so comforting, though. It's so
good. Oh
comforting.
yeah. No. Exactly. They're fantastic. 100%. It's like a fun thing to do. But I also think I just think the jokes are hilarious. It's like
Oh, for
move
sure.
to a small town. But, check
Yeah.
out of your stilettos. Absolutely. All right. So, have you ever made a purchase and then immediately regretted it? And if so, what was it?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I think I remember in high school begging my parents to get me one of those Letterman jackets because I cheered. And as soon as they bought it, I was like, I don't want to wear that. I'm embarrassed. And I just remember them being so mad because it had my name on it. And it was, yeah. So that's the one thing that comes to mind, which is so silly. But
No, that's
oftentimes,
spectacular.
yeah.
That's spectacular. All right, that's it. Shannon Russell, thank you for being an amazing guest.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.